Alright, it's Liam. I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast, as you were.
Welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. Hope you're okay. We've got a cool episode coming up today, as always. I mentioned last time that the next one up will be Mary McGuigan, and that should have been the next one up, but the Oasis gods have dropped a couple of bits of news on us in the last few days, and I just really wanted to pick up on that. So I've called my good friend Joel, who we haven't heard on the podcast for ages, actually. But when it comes to analysing music, both as a production-wise and also on like song structure and that sort of stuff-wise, he's the best person that I know. So I had to give him a shout. So there's two things really that we're going to be covering off. First off, Liam has effectively released a single, which is Sad Song. So obviously it's a bit different like doing singles these days, because what does it really mean? But yeah, the MTV Unplugged album is coming out on the 12th of June. And so, yeah, as a single from that, he's just released Sad Song. He'd actually released Gone a couple of months ago as well. But yeah, I didn't really comment on the time because there wasn't really anything more to say about it. We'd already heard it. But this one I do really want to comment on specifically because there's like four versions of Sad Song now, and I really want to pick up on that with Joel. And also Take Me. I mentioned it on last week's episode, but Absolute Radio had said, oh, we've got this unheard demo version of Take Me, we're going to be playing it. And they dragged it out for a week, and they finally played it, and it was pretty underwhelming. But anyway, so I'll be catching up with Joel about that as well. News-wise, not a huge amount to report. The Noel Gallagher has done another episode of the Matt Morgan podcast, which was very entertaining, as they have been. It did actually make news. There was like a story about the fact that, like, did Noel have an affair with Rihanna? Because one of the questions that Matt Morgan asks him is from a listener who said, did you have an affair with Rihanna? And he says, no, I didn't. And so that was a story. The fact that apparently he didn't have an affair with, but why would he have anyway? I've never even heard that rumour, so yeah, whatever. Anyway, it was an entertaining listen. He talks about his songwriting process and stuff like that, so definitely worth checking out. And yeah, all quiet in the world of Liam and the other guys. Cool, all right, let's cross over to me talking about these two songs with Joel.
Say when you feel I've gone, I always knew I could be someone. Say if you think you're right, do it now before it's
light. All right. So welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, Joel. It's been a while, man. What's going on?
Yeah, nothing very much. Nothing's really changed since the last time we spoke.
No, not at all. We're just in complete, absolute meltdown and all that. But anyway, we're not going to dwell on that stuff because that's a different topic for a different podcast.
Indeed.
It's much better to talk about multiple versions of songs recorded over 25 years ago, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I assumed that I'd woken up in 1992 when I turned upon Absolute Radio the other day to hear a brand new recording of Take Me.
So, all right. So let's just rewind the film a little bit. So Absolute Radio do this announcement that they've got this unheard version of Take Me. Now, the whole point was that back in the 1992, the Oasis version with Noel having just joined, they do this like telethon. Actually, Tony in his book says it's Red Nose Day, but it's not, it's telethon.
That's the ITV version, isn't it? And it had like a bank of celebrities taking calls.
gentlemen, your host for the next 28 hours, Michael Aspel.
Thank you very much. Okay, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome.
So, and they had stuff, regional stuff around the country. So Tony writes about it in his book that there's this, they were asked, they managed to get this gig doing like the Granada TV version of Telethon because they had different things going on in the region and they recorded it. Now, this has been really well documented by our good friend David Huggins, who is Oasis Recording Info. Website, and so if you look that up, I'll put the link in the description. It explains all of this in great detail, how, you know, what happened with this TV recording and what happened with it. The tape of the song that was used, that we've now heard, went on auction years ago, and then, you know, and no one had ever heard it. Like, the pictures of it existed, so we knew it existed, but it was just lost, one of those things that's in the private collectors and you just never found it again, until it surfaced on Absolute Radio last week. Now, and they dragged it out for like a week, just saying like, oh, we're going to play it. Oh, but first we're going to speak to Bonin about it. And then we'll speak to this listener, James guy. And then we'll speak to him again. And so they drag it out for a week. So we're thinking like, okay, this might actually be something decent. And then they finally play it. So, to my untrained ear, it's actually exactly the same recording, but with a siren. If it just sounds a bit cleaner, what did you think?
Well, I mean, we actually spoke about this, didn't we, while it was still unreleased, about whether it would be a genuinely new version of Take Me or it would just be new to the people that didn't like Oasis enough to have found it on a bootleg previously.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it's a better quality recording. To me, it sounds like a digital version of a recording sitting on a CD that hasn't degraded, whereas every other version of Take Me that I'd ever heard was off a tape, off a tape, off a tape. So you've got the sort of wobble of a tape that's been a bit worn down. But the recording itself is clearly exactly the same recording, and I suspect it's not even a different mix of the same recording. It's the same recording. And someone has gone and played with the EQ and maybe stuck a tiny bit of compression on the version that we heard on Absolute Radio. So if you imagine when you've got your iPad or whatever iPod or whatever you listen to music on, probably not an iPod in 2020 to be fair, and the EQ as standard is flat, yeah. That's what the tape version sounds like that everyone knows who's listened to it before. That version on Absolute Radio has basically gone to the rock setting where you push all the bass up and you push all the treble up, so the top and the bottom of the sound is quite loud and the bit in the middle is quite quiet, relatively speaking. And it sounds like they've done that, so they put it on the rock setting because it's a rock song, and maybe added a bit of compression, which is another classic sort of end of studio tidying up thing that pushes all of the main noise to the front of the mix and makes the volume more consistent across the recording.
Okay. And so you think this is they've got that original recording and then they've just gone back in and added this siren effect and then maybe remixed it a little bit?
Remastered. So I don't think they played with, I think I think it's literally they have the one audio track pasted, played with the EQ, played with the compressions. They weren't messing around with the guitar versus the drums versus the bass. And yeah, they probably just added in as a second track on that final thing that you can hear, the siren at the start and end, which on the one hand sounds quite cool, but on the other, because if you think about all the songs you know where there is a sound effect at the beginning or the end that runs into the piece, it's always non-tonal, like a helicopter or a car or the sound of some weather, and the reason for that is that you then, it doesn't clash with the key of the music, whereas the problem with the siren, particularly when it's going up and down, is that it's like running all over the chord progression. It sounds like a really badly out-of-tune guitar in places. So it's a no from me.
And the thing about the siren for me is it's like if the song was called like 4 minute warning or, you know, or stay indoors or, you know what I mean? Like something like that. So I'm sure there's been plenty of stay indoors songs and there will be this period of our lives is going to create a wealth of rubbish acoustic songs.
Even Lock All the Doors would have been a better track to have.
Yes, yeah, that would have worked well with a siren. But yeah, just the fact that the Take Me is just the lyrics are kind of meaningless and have nothing to do with like a siren anyway. So why would there be a siren going? It just doesn't make sense in terms of the lyrics. It kind of goes with the style of the music because it's quite a moody sounding song, I think. So it doesn't. I know what you mean about the tonality, but it's just weird. The guitar riff in it is very Stone Roses, isn't it? There's the like.
I Want to Be Adored.
Yes.
And it's got the same style, hasn't it? It's got like a bit of bass. It's very much like I Want to Be Adored. And then there's also something that I Want to Be Adored also has like that sort of rumbling sound in the background as it starts as well. Yeah.
So do you think that's kind of the overall sort of what they've been trying to achieve with this, do you think?
It feels like it's been influenced by it. I don't know whether it's a direct reference to I Want to Be Adored, but that would be a sensible point of reference for a Manchester band writing songs in 1991, 92, that.
And I think it's interesting that they did that. This was the song that they did at this point. You know, when Noel is joined the band, has been with the band for a little while, it was obviously they were still in those first few gigs, and at this point they were still like Take Me was still hanging around from the pre-Noel period. You would have thought that like by this point he would have sort of come in and sort of shifted Take Me Out by now and like, you know, and they would have done another one of his songs at this point.
Yeah, well, not only is it still lingering in the set list, it's the biggest opportunity of their short careers, and they've gone with that as the track that's going to be put on the TV.
Yeah,
that would presumably be their, at the time, that would have been their best song, because what is the best thing they've ever recorded? Because clearly, if someone says to you, your band's going to be on the telly, you're not going to be like, oh, we've got this from 2 years ago that we don't want to play anymore, let's put that on the telly.
Yeah. No, I know. It is a strange one. But, yeah. So, I mean, anything else to say about it? The song in particular or that kind of version?
What I thought was interesting listening back, Noel Gallagher, when he's playing guitar on anything that is an official Oasis release, has mastered the meaningful string bend. Like, you think about all the great solos, there's loads of great string bends in Noel Gallagher's guitar work.
Okay.
Littered with it. In fact, the first bit of Noel Gallagher lead guitar that you hear in the recorded set of music is the bend of the string at the start of Rock and Roll Star.
Yeah,
on that recording, it's all just him like picking single notes. I don't think there's a single string bend in the entire of that song, and there's quite a lot of guitar work in it. And it's also very basic. Like, you think that guitar solo in it, it just goes something like. And that's it, that's the guitar solo. I mean, it's listenable, and I quite like the energy of it. So it's just basically, you've got... over and over again, and that's the... which is all of the melody, all the way through the song.
Yeah.
And then there's a bit of guitar work over the same progression. And then after one of the rounds of that, it breaks down to... guitar solo that goes on like that for a bit, then it goes back to the start and it sort of loops again. It's not, it doesn't feel like a song that Noel Gallagher has written, because his songs are all really quite well crafted,
yeah,
and make a lot of sense as you go through, whereas that one you're not really sure what's coming next.
Yeah, that it to me, it just sounds, especially with the bass being so much louder as well, it doesn't, you know, as soon as Noel comes in and starts taking over, the bass just gets wiped away. You know, in these early Oasis recordings, you can hear the bass far louder than you can, even when they've got, like, a, you know, Andy Bell playing the bass later. But it to me, I think maybe because we were in a indie band, like, just trying to figure ourselves out. But to me, it sounds like a bunch of teenagers who don't really know what they're doing, like, just... you know, knocking out these sort of songs, very, very basic songs with very basic chord patterns. It does to me sound like a teenage band. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. I totally agree. It sounds like a band sort of finding their feet, working out what they're going to do. And there's bits of it, like that break into that guitar solo is quite a nice little change up. And sort of there is the nascent of a really cool guitar solo that kind of kicks on a bit that doesn't quite, because Noel's not worked that out yet either. But it, yeah, there are bits in it that are quite memorable. But it, yeah, the melody, there's that one line that doesn't really go anywhere.
Yeah.
And the lyrics are pretty hideous, even by the standards of some of the clangers that have been dropped over the years.
Good. All right. So all in all, Absolute Radio, what are you doing? like making such a fuss over this thing when, you know, I mean, and to be fair to them, you know, they've got, you know, I listened to Absolute Radio for the first time in ages this week because of it. And I'm sure quite a few other Oasis fans have. But, you know, I know there's stuff out there in personal collections that is properly exciting. And this is just not exciting at all. And I at least thought it was going to be a different version, you know, like with more Noel guitar maybe, or like with a different Liam vocal, but it's literally the same, isn't it? It's just quite frustrating. But hey, at least it's a better version of the same song that we've heard before, basically, I suppose. The Dave Berry Breakfast Show.
And again, it highlights the significance of Oasis that in 2020, Absolute Radio were playing a pretty mediocre demo of a song from 1992 and trailed it for a week.
Yeah, and it turned out it's a song that the proper fans had all heard anyway. Yeah, no, I wonder if there's many people that were like, oh, cool, I've not heard this before, or if most people that are interested know it already, you know what I mean?
Well, I guess there's probably, if you're let's say you're 17. I mean, I know people now have access to everything. You say you're 17 and you've got Spotify and you love Oasis because you've heard Wonderwall and then you've kind of dug a bit deeper and someone says there's a new Oasis recording, then it's conceivable that you could really love the band but have never gone and found the bootlegs that we would have done to find that, because it's a relatively obscure recording. But if you found that, I mean, you know, it would be an acquired taste, that song, right? You know, if you've sort of come to Oasis with 18 years of music, so you've got Stop Crying Your Heart Out and Fallen Down and all the rest of it, and then you're like, well, that take me, that's a bit raw, isn't it? You know, it was different back in 1996-7 when we were hearing it, and it's like, that is very similar to the sort of first album sound, or certainly there'd be some of the B-sides that are a bit more rough and ready.
Yeah.
It made sense. Whereas if you're comparing that to, you know, the sort of psychedelia of Dig Out Your Soul, and Liam obviously sounds incredibly different. He sounds different to anything on that. He's still got the Ian Brown drawl going on. He's not yet found his voice.
No, I agree. And it's interesting, like, it hasn't had any sort of traction at all. You know, I messaged sort of about it on the Live Forever forum, and we've sort of, it's been mentioned on like Twitter a few times, but yeah, it's not caused a big stir at all. Like when that Don't Stop demo was released the other day, a couple of weeks ago now, that Noel sort of Oasis demo that he found came out. It was like, it was a big deal and it was all over the place. You know, it was a big fuss made about it. But this was just like, yeah, you know, fine, whatever. We've already heard it and it's made no traction whatsoever. So I hope that Absolute did get a listener boost from it and that they've been able to fill a few hours when there's literally nothing else going on in the world. So, yeah, so fair play to them. But, yeah, wow. I'm the Oasis podcast and, like, I wasn't, you know, if it wasn't for the fact they'd make a big fuss about this, if it had just appeared on a forum, I wouldn't have even talked about it. I'd be like, oh, cool, that's a slightly better version of the same recording. That's fine. But
it's a question for you.
Go on.
Given that there are other better songs from that period of pre-creation Oasis, they're not in copyright, I wouldn't have thought. Could you drop a See the Sun, which I genuinely rate as a song?
That's my favourite from that period.
Play it in full.
I could, I suppose. I mean, it is interesting. I've wondered that. And I asked Ben Burrell, who, you know, I've interviewed on here, is one of the Absolute DJs. And I sort of mentioned to him about, like, well, has someone been in touch with Ignition about this? Because surely if they ever do an Oasis anthology, like, this stuff should... It's never been released. So, I mean, would it have been copyrighted? Like, it's not been released. Like, I don't understand what the legalities will be with this. Because is it copywriting? Is there a publishing agreement in relation to this song? Like, if you playing on the radio, would they have had to pay royalties to someone? Because it's, I don't know. Weird, isn't it?
I think technically there probably would be an element of copyright. So if I went off and recorded Take Me and released it, I think I could be sued, even though it's not been released under a publishing agreement. But whether you have to pay to use it, you know, sort of mechanical publishing rights on a radio or indeed on a podcast is a moot point. I suspect no one would come and sue you for playing those pre-creation Oasis tracks. The question is whether or not your podcast host might say, actually, you can't do that 30 seconds back, so be dogmatic about it anyway.
Trying to impress what you might be feeling. Why suppress what you might be needing? You missed the moon on Monday morning. You were lying in your sin. You missed the moon.
Sony don't own the rights to those songs because they've never recorded them. So that's certainly true.
Interesting. All right. Well, there's our album then, Joel.
Yeah.
We can call it Foasis and sell a million records, and they won't be able to get a penny from us.
I like Foasis as a name, but how do you spell it?
Fauxsis. Foxis. Everyone would just call you Foxis, wouldn't they? Foxis. Or Foxis. All right. On that positive note, let's move on, shall we? So a slightly better song. I mean, it's only sort of, you know, less than 2 years on from having released Take Me. Oasis record and then later on release Sad Song. So it comes out on the Definitely Maybe vinyl version as a vinyl only track. Although I think you would have been similar to me picking it up on like a unreleased songs demo at the time, like a bootleg.
It was actually one of your unreleased songs, bootlegs, on which I heard first. So I could pinpoint to within a couple of weeks in time when I first heard it. It was just after we'd started the sixth form and let me your CD.
Oh, very cool. Is that Oasis Due North? The one with the red cover with Noel with the Beatles t-shirt?
That's right, the one with the red cover. And it's got Wonder Picket Fence on.
Wonder Picket Fence?
He's on a radio station and he starts playing sort of vaguely hillbilly guitar, but obviously he's not that good. He's just basically strumming the guitar quite fast. And they're singing a silly song about Wonder Picket Fence. Or he says this one's called Wonder Picket Fence in a bad American accent. It's like one of the tracks that he's messing around on a radio station somewhere.
I don't remember that. Cool. I'll obviously be trying to find it and dropping it in here.
Are you feeling chipper today?
I'm chipper, son of a bitch. Yeah, I'm chipper, son of a bitch. I'm a chipper, son of a bitch. I'm a chipper, son of a bitch. And I never get an itch when I'm a chipper, son of a bitch. I'm a chipper, son of a bitch. I'm feeling all right, actually.
Okay, I'm feeling all right.
So
especially chipper, then. Are you going to say any one thing in this interview that'll make this, like, controversial so it'll be a huge pull quote in the papers over here?
Yeah. I'm a chipper, son of a bitch. I'm a chipper, son of a bitch. I'm a chipper, son of a bitch. No, nothing controversial. Oh, in fact, I ain't no chipper, son of a bitch.
The negative.
Yeah. All right. Okay, this one's called Wonder of Picket Fence.
Yes!
That's all, folks.
That was nice as hell.
That was chipper, boy.
So, yes, yeah, Sad Song's interesting, and I thought it would be, you know, obviously we'll cover it when we get there on the A to Z in about 3 years. But yeah, just looking at different versions of it. So obviously we get the Noel Gallagher original version, and it was one that there'd always been rumours that there was a Liam sung, that Liam had sung it. And then it was later on, years later, you know, we get the Supersonic documentary, which has this very brief clip of Liam singing Sad Song in the background. And we're all like, what? Liam sang Sad Song? You know, why haven't we heard this? And some very clever people, including Maxi Gonzalez, has then taken Liam's voice from that clip that we've heard on that, and then managed to tidy it up and put it onto the original Sad Song.
Sing a sad song in a lonely place. Try to put a wedding for me. It's been so long since I found a space. In the ground, what we don't see, well, it can't be real.
But yeah, Maxi Gonzalez, who did that, who we've heard from on here before, is, you know, the probably the best person that I've seen who does that stuff. And it was actually Maxi who uploaded the Absolute Radio one to YouTube as well. So he's really doing it in the Oasis community online at the moment. But yeah, so we've got that Liam version, which we still haven't heard the original, which would be great to hear all the way through. But so that's all we've got, is basically that snippet that we've then managed to get. But from Liam's like 1994 voice versus Noel's one, have you got a preference over those two?
I prefer the way they sing it is quite different. It's quite, Liam's is a bit his vocal is a bit jauntier than Noel's. There's a bit more like a bit more sort of jazz hands in the way that Liam phrases some of the lines. So I prefer the Noel sung melody, which is not always true,
right,
actually, across everything that you've heard them both sing. But I think Noel's melody is better.
Where we living in this town? The sun is coming up and then it's going down, and it's all just the same at the end of the day. Where we're living in this town, the sun is coming up and it's going down, but it's all just the same at the end of the day. How we cheat, how we lie, nobody says it's wrong, so we don't ask why, 'cause it's all just the same at the end of the day. And we cheat, and we lie, nobody says it's wrong, so we don't ask why, 'cause it's all just the same at the end of the day.
And tellingly, when Liam comes back to Sad Song in 2019, he's singing Noel's melody.
Yes, yeah. I wonder if it's, as someone that was in a band that was told what melodies to sing by you, and would sometimes get them wrong, and see how frustrated you would get because I changed the melody like very, very slightly. I can imagine that's maybe why his version was dropped. Same as Step Out as well. There's something he does in Step Out which is slightly different, and I just think that Noel's sort of gone, look, if you can't sing the exact melody that I've told you to sing, I'm doing it, because that was exactly how I was mistreated as a singer as well, Joel.
Well, yeah, I mean, admittedly, you're not Liam Gallagher and I'm not Noel Gallagher, so it's hard to draw too many parallels. I wonder, but I think you know, you hear Owen Morris talk about Liam just turn up to a studio, Noel plays the song through on his acoustic guitar twice, and Liam goes in the booth and sings a very passable approximation of it with a set of lyrics. So I suspect there is probably some leeway afforded to Liam, because some of the phrasing in some of the like definitive versions of songs that Liam sang don't sound like Noel singing them. So there is some Liam license allowed in there, I think. But Sad Song definitely lends itself to a Noel Gallagher vocal.
Yeah, I think Liam's, at this stage, Liam's voice is very childlike, isn't it? It's very, it almost sounds quite, I don't know what the word is, not childlike necessarily, but nursery rhyme-ish, you know what I mean? It's sort of, whereas Noel sounds a bit more world-weary the way he sings it, whereas Liam's more like teenage romance, you know what I mean?
Yes, no, I think that's a great way to describe it. I think, yeah, because clearly the age of the vocal appears to predate the Definitely Maybe session, or at the very least is the start of the Definitely Maybe session, and Liam's not kind of ragged his voice, because there's more snarl on the delivery on things like Supersonic, yeah. Slide Away, Live Forever.
Yeah. Yeah, all right, so that's the 1994, and then we skip forward then, well, obviously we heard that in 2016. Then the next thing is he starts playing it live. So he played it live a few times, but then in terms of the, you know, these two like recorded versions we now have, like pro versions effectively. So there was the Acoustic Sessions album that came out end of last year, which was, I thought it was a bit of a strange release, because we knew they'd done this MTV Unplugged and that they would be, you know, probably releasing that MTV Unplugged, but then they released this Acoustic Sessions, which was basically the same kind of arrangements that we then heard at the whole MTV Unplugged gig. And so it was like, well, why are you doing that and not the live gig? And I assumed it's because he wasn't very happy with his vocal, or he wasn't very happy with the sound at the MTV Unplugged gig. And I thought, oh, okay, so they're just releasing that instead. And then now they're releasing the MTV Unplugged gig as well. So it's a bit of a, you know what I mean? It's a bit of a head scratcher, that one.
Probably because they get more royalties if they do it across two sessions. I mean, it's quite a nice arrangement, and it's cleaner on the studio recorded version. I mean, the live one's fine, but Liam's voice is a bit better because presumably you've got opportunities to retake bits that don't quite go so well, and you can play with the levels a bit more, and there's not the background sound of the crowd, which is fine, but is a different listen.
Yeah. I mean, generally, what do you think of the like the strings throughout it and stuff? I really like that.
Sing a sad song in a lonely place, and try to put a wedding for me. It's been so long since I found this space. You better put in two or three. We as people are just walking round. Our heads are firmly fixed in the ground. What we don't see, well, it can't be real. What we don't touch, we cannot feel.
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, I have to say that I was thinking about this, there is something about the early Noel Gallagher B-sides, which is just always him playing guitar, singing, and then an overdub of a second guitar doing some sort of noodling in the background. That's very distinctively Oasis. The sort of use of strings alongside acoustic guitars don't really come in until whatever, and then the second album as the budgets go up.
Yeah.
And so it differentiates it from the original immediately, because you wouldn't have had those strings available to him when he was cobbling together the 12 tracks. We had a balanced double LP for the album. And so I quite like that. It's a very distinctly Oasis arrangement that the Noel multi-guitars and vocal only gives you. But yes, I think the strings are nice. They're not earth-shattering. They're not doing anything that elevates the song to another level in the way that, I don't know, the whatever strings do, or right. The Sweet Symphony. They're just kind of making a pleasant sound in the background.
Yeah, I quite like that that sort of swell and drop, that when you have that kind of descending part, dum 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 dum, and then when it comes back in with the "if you need him", that I think that's they sound very nice there.
If you're needing something I can give, I know I'd help you if I can.
But other than that, I think that is just sort of embellishment, isn't it? It's just kind of taking what's already there, almost like those old like Royal Philharmonic, you know, plays Oasis. They're just sort of taking what was already being done in the other, like the guitars, and then just sort of rearranging that for strings.
How good is the Royal Philharmonic plays Oasis version of Supersonic?
I do
magic.
Like
it sounds like a swooning 1980s US soap opera theme tune, but in all the right ways. Like, if you imagine the Dallas theme tune, it's that, but it's set to the melody of Supersonic. Wonderful.
I haven't heard it for a while, but doesn't it? Because it's like it's got the trying to do the like Liam like self like that. So it's like like that on the horns. it's like a trumpet, one of those like muty things on the trumpet. I can't remember, I don't know what it's called, but it's like the trumpet.
Yeah,
oh,
I all I can remember is the sort of swell of strings into the chorus. It's just wonderful. I mean, you know, the melody of the chorus of Supersonic is fabulous anyway. Really like 80s sounding, much better guitarist than Noel, but can't play the E spot P guitar solo at the end of it. And it's like, yes, well done, you've got great game, but it didn't really work.
Yeah, I remember that now. Yeah, throughout it, like the because there is a live guitar on it, but it's like, it's, yeah, it is too clean. It's perfect, but it's, yeah, it's not the same, is it? It's not rock and roll. It's too nice. Yeah. Anyway, that's a nice aside. But we'll have to do an episode on that CD. That was good fun. That CD. So back to Sad Song. The big thing I wanted to point out, we had a conversation about this. It really, and I'm pleased actually, because a couple of other people have contacted me on Twitter and noticed this. That version that they've just released, the whole one. I don't know if I noticed this on TV, but listening to it here, it sounds to me like the guitar keeps making a mistake throughout it. There's so many points where it's they're playing a chord, and it's like it's kind of the chord goes wrong and it changes, and it just takes me out of it so much, and it keeps happening over and over again. And I mentioned it to you, and you, being a musical person, didn't think it was that bad. Can you just... To me, it sounded rubbish.
Yeah, it's... I need to listen to it again to give you a really clear view. So you'll play it over the top, but I obviously can't hear it. But it's... So the chord progression goes... It's that third chord, which is a D. It's like Noel isn't really playing proper chords. He's not got any thirds in there, so they're all kind of suspended. So the A minor 7 is like you've got an F that doesn't have the sort of suspended second. And then there's a D that's also, I think it's a suspended second as well. And then an E sus 4. And I think somewhere in that D, so that third chord, there's either an A that's louder than you hear in the original version, or perhaps like a D, an F sharp, that is a bit jarring, but he plays it every single time he plays it, and I suspect he's probably just not dampening the string that he's playing. It's just more prominent than in the original version. So it's either that, like, you play D and the first string that you're striking is the third one.
Right.
Think about it. Your guitar, you've got an E string, an A string, and then a D string.
Yeah.
And so if you just play a D chord, if you don't put your thumb over to play the F sharp at the bottom, you'd start on the D, so the bass note is the D, so you only hit your four strings. So it might be that the strum, or perhaps the pick, is picking up an A at the bottom, and that jars a little bit. It's not wrong, but it... doesn't progress like the rest of the track feels it like it's doing. Sing a sad song in a lonely place. I'm trying to put away for me. It's been so long since I found a space. You better put in two or three. We as people, I just walk around. I answer finally fixed in the ground. What we don't see, well, we can't be real. What we don't touch, we cannot feel. If it happened just once, you'd say that's a mistake. If it happens every single time he plays it in the same way, chances are he's not making the same mistake every single time. Chances are just what he's playing sounds a bit different to the original and picks out a note in the chord. If you think about the chord, it's going to be made up of three or four individual notes, right?
Yeah.
Then he's just picking out one that doesn't resonate with what it is you're used to hearing when you hear that part.
Okay.
I could be wrong. I've also listened to it over and over again to get a definitive answer, but that was what I thought when I listened to it.
Yeah, it just... I get that, and I see where you're coming from, but it just, to me, and I exactly, like, why would you just let it keep doing it again and again? Surely, like, when didn't someone from the record company listen to this and says, that sounds a bit weird? But, and then the fact that it is, you know, in the acoustic sessions version, it's not really there. You know, that weird kind of, that weird sort of mistake-sounding chord isn't there, so... or if it's there, it's not as prominent. But yeah, so I just thought that was very strange that of all the options they had to release as a single from this, they went for this one. And also they didn't, you know, the set list for that is significantly down from what they actually played. They cut a load of songs. You know, the actual gig, they only showed some of them for the TV show. And then this album is only some of them again. So I think they've deliberately trimmed some that they didn't think were quite good enough on the night. So I don't think Liam was 100% happy with his performance on the night. It was one of those shows where you can sort of see him complaining and stuff. And I don't think it's his best vocal that night. But yeah, it's a weird one. I just don't get it. I don't get how it's sort of got through, and I don't get how it's even been highlighted as a single.
How many of the songs that were played that weren't on the album were Oasis songs where there'd be issues with royalties?
All right, so the track list for the album is Wall of Glass, Some Might Say, Now That I Found You, One of Us, Stand By Me, Sad Song, Cast No Shadow, Once Gone, Champagne Supernova. So it's 10 tracks.
It's quite a bit of Oasis. It's quite a bit of Oasis in there,
I should think that. It's not... Yeah, a little bit. I suppose, I imagine they've released Sad Song because of the fact that it's Sad Song, and it's like, for people that aren't following along the, you know, the regular sort of, oh, he played it live 12 times or however many times he played it, that they were maybe hoping it would get quite a bit of traction, like, oh, Liam Gallagher doing Sad Song, but that was one that Noel used to do, you know what I mean? So but yeah, and then just looking back at the actual gig, there was 15 tunes played: Wall of Glass, Greedy Soul, Bold, For What It's Worth, Now That I Found You, Why Me, Why Not, One of Us, Natural Mystic, he played the Bob Marley song, Sad Song, yeah. Some Might Say, Cast No Shadow, Once Gone, Stand By Me, Champagne Supernova.
Yeah.
So, interesting. So that's four As You Were, five Why Me, Why Not, five Oasis, and then the one cover.
Yeah, which he did on that. Didn't he do it on a Radio 1 or a Radio 2 session?
Yeah, which I didn't really rate. I was quite pleased when he stopped playing it, really. Maybe not. I wouldn't mind. I'd like to hear him do Revolution Song, actually. I think that would be... If I had to hear him do a Bob Marley, I'd say Revolution Song would be good. But there you go. Not Revolution
yeah.
Song. It's like... Yeah, Revolution Song. Won't you help to sing... Redemption Song. Redemption
yeah,
Song.
Revolution Song is another one, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the Revolution Song, yeah. Yeah, that'd be good to
not
hear.
Not No Woman, No Cry. Then that'd be good.
Well...
I remember
when we used to sit. Yeah. Anyway, so I just thought that was a bit weird, those two sad songs being released so close to each other, and yet one of them has just got that weird wrong sounding all throughout it. But anyway, thanks for half clearing that up, but I still think it sounds weird and wrong.
Well, I mean, the bottom line is, if it sounds weird and wrong, it doesn't matter if it's consistently weird and wrong and what they were intending to play. It shouldn't sound weird and wrong, because that's not what you're generally trying to achieve at a music.
Yeah.
at a gig.
No, it's not. It doesn't actually sound weird and wrong. It's that you don't understand. You're not clever musically to understand what we're doing here with this sus chord.
The Viennese movement. Have you never heard of the 12-tone scale? Sherman's a genius. Yeah,
I think that's exactly what Liam was thinking when he fully arranged this all by himself. Cool. All right, thank you for that, Joel. So thank you very much to Joel. I hope you guys enjoyed that discussion, and I hope gave some light on the couple of different tunes that have been big in the Oasis world this week. Let me know what you think about the sad song. Can you hear it? Can you hear that weirdness? It does my head in. I don't quite get it. Anyway, so there you go. Oh, and thank you everyone that submitted stuff for Do You Know What I Mean. That will be the next A to Z. So if you want to submit a breakdown for Do You Know What I Mean, then please do get in touch. We've already had a couple, so it sounds like we might be doing a full episode on Do You Know What I Mean, or maybe even a two-parter, because a lot of people have got a lot to say about that song. The conversation I had with Joel there, we carried on talking, and we did the whole discussion about Do You Know What I Mean. So that is recorded and ready to go, and then we've got Mary McGuigan, and yeah, so we keep going from strength to strength here on the Oasis podcast. So that'll do it for today. I just want to say thank you very much to our patrons. Primarily, you put your money where your mouth is, and it is really, really wonderful. If you want to sign up and be a patron, you can get bonus episodes and access to all kinds of other wonderful things over at patreon.com/oasispod. You can email me oasispod@gmail.com, and please follow on social media, Oasis Podcast on Twitter and Facebook, and Oasis Pod on Instagram. So I think that'll pretty much do us. As ever, stay in touch, stay engaged, stay healthy, stay safe, wash your hands, pick your nose, bite your tongue, whatever. Stay in.
All right, we're getting out of here.
Say goodbye, cold world. Say I'm leaving you today. Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. Say goodbye, all you people. There's nothing that you can say. Make me change my mind. Goodbye.
Yes!